gets me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Remind us of the clue from last week.
Well, last week we reviewed some of the noteworthy Manitobans who passed away in 2021. And so I thought, while we were on the theme of loss, we should review some of the historic buildings and other structures that disappeared last year due to the effects of fires or demolition. There are at least 18 of them, by my reckoning.
How do you find out about these losses?
I try as much as possible to watch newspapers, websites, social media posts, anything that refers to historic buildings that have been destroyed. But I readily admit that I'm at the mercy of available information. Of the 18 losses that I'll list this morning, I can't vouch for all of them because in some cases, I'm going on what I was told by someone and did not witness them personally.
The Manitoba Historical Society produces an annual endangered structures list. Were any of those lost in 2021?
Yeah, for the last 3 years, in fact, we've produced for Canada Historic Places Day in early July, a list of 10 structures that we feel are especially at threat. So on the 2019 list, I'm pleased to say that none of the 10 structures have been lost, although there is news about one of them that I'm presently not at liberty to share. And I expect I'll be able to say more about it in the coming months. One of the entries on the 2020 list came down in 2021. That was the International Harvester Building on Pacific Avenue in Brandon. It was demolished to make way for an expanded 18th Street Bridge. Finally, one entry on the 2021 list was destroyed, but I'll say more about that one in a few moments.
What are some of the other categories of buildings lost in 2021?
Well, one of them is apartment blocks. We found two of them that disappeared last year. In August, we had the three-story brick and stone Beveridge block. It sat on Main Street, just a little north of the underpass. It was destroyed by fire. It was built in 1907. It had stores on the street level and residential apartments on the upper two floors. The burned-out shell was subsequently demolished. It's now an empty lot. On the very last day of 2021, December 31st, a fire consumed the Ferndale apartment block on Sherbrooke Street, north of Ellis. Built in 1914, a few years ago, it underwent a major renovation and facelift after sitting vacant for a while. I drove by it just a few days ago, and it looks quite surreal, something out of a fairy tale. The building is shrouded in long icicles from the water used by the firefighters to extinguish the blaze. The building still stands, but I suspect it's too badly damaged to be restored. But who knows? Time will tell.
What is another category of loss?
Well, we lost a couple of small churches in 2021. In Killarney, the former Erskine Presbyterian Church, built in 1949 and closed in 1970, it was used by local Lutherans for a time in the 1990s. It was demolished. In October, the former Evangelical Lutheran Church west of Camper in the municipality of West Interlake, in the Interlake area, it was destroyed by an absolutely senseless act of arson. You know, I remember visiting that church in 2016 and found it beautifully preserved inside. There were benches and chairs still in place, a pot-bellied stove for heating, a pulpit with religious tomes intact, all of it now gone.
I recall you mentioned last week that grain elevators were among the losses.
Yes, indeed. Of course, listeners know my fascination with grain elevators, and the loss of them continues unabated. So in 2021, no fewer than 9 elevators were demolished, mostly by the same fellow who seems to be making a business of tearing down and in some cases, recycling their largest beams, old elevators. The ones that disappeared were at Brandon, Homewood, Low Farm, Mentmore, Niverville, Pearson. In fact, there were two at Pearson that came down, and Winnipegosis. Here in Winnipeg, an old seed mill on Marion Street, people may recognize it was opposite the old Union Stockyards, and it was later used as a feed mill, was demolished in July. One of the interesting consequences I've learned about elevator demolition, according to my friend Bill Warren, who lives at Pearson, is it is now noisier when the train rolls through town because the two large elevators that used to muffle the sound, of course, are now gone.
Oh, interesting. Hadn't even thought of that.
Me neither.
Why are there so many elevators being demolished?
Well, many of them date to the early 20th century, and having not been maintained in decades, they're reaching a frankly precarious state of deterioration. Tearing them down removes a potential public liability. In some cases, they're torn down because they're no longer economical to operate because of their small size relative to the huge elevators that are now the norm, or because the farmers who own them can buy steel granaries that hold just as much grain but require much less investment of time and money to maintain the old wooden elevators. There are several elevators on my watch list for 2022 that, if they don't come down this year, it's just a matter of time before they do. Fortunately, there are some good news stories in this category. Back in September of 2016, I talked about a grain warehouse at Brookdale, northeast of Brandon, that was recently moved to the safety of the Manitoba Agricultural Museum grounds.
And what is a grain warehouse?
Well, it was common in the 19th century. It was a one-story warehouse used to store grain in a similar fashion to a grain elevator. This one in Brookdale is believed by historians to be the very last of its kind in Western Canada. It was jacked up, it was put on wheels, and it was hauled to the museum in October, where it was put on a new foundation and will hopefully be restored in the coming months before an official reopening at this year's Threshermen's Reunion in Stampede.
Are there any other losses on your list?
Yep, two more. We have the Red House at Russell, built in 1888 and believed to have been the oldest surviving residence in that town. Its owner, a fellow named William Barrett Leonard, hauled the red bricks used to make it from the brickyard at Assisippi. One of Barrett Leonard's daughters married into the noteworthy Bolton family of Russell, and rumors persisted that there was an underground tunnel connecting the Red House with the nearby Bolton Manor. I don't know whether they were able to confirm or deny that rumor based on now the house not being there. The Red House was badly damaged in an arson fire in January and was expected to be demolished. I assume it has. I haven't, unfortunately, been able to confirm that myself. One last demolition. 3 years ago in this series, we discussed the plight of hotels that are closing all over small towns in Manitoba. That fate befell the hotel in Brunkhill in 2016. The building was built in 1922, and it was the local watering hole, I guess you could say, for decades. The building demolished in December.
Where do people go now to drink?
I do not know. Probably they have to drive all the way to Carmen, I guess.
How about if listeners know about other historical structures that came down in 2021?
They should definitely contact me. The Manitoba Historical Society is mapping historic structures all over the province. We've mapped thousands of them so far, and we simply can't keep track of all of them without local help. So whenever a historic old building, an old bridge, or other structure is destroyed, whether it's by fire or demolition, I want to know about it.
Good to know. I'll definitely know who to call. Thanks so much, Gordon.
You're welcome, Stephanie.
What's up for next week?
We're going to visit places around Manitoba, at least eight of them, that share a connection to a shiny bronze boot.
So mysterious. I look forward to it.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.